We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Amen. You woke up this morning and it was not warm. You woke up this morning and you were thinking, oh man, it's upon us. Fall is coming. It is coming. And so I don't know if you look around the room, flannels are back. This is happening. I don't know if you noticed. But hey, it's okay. We still have one more Campfire Stories part to our series. And I pray this has been a blessing to you. I pray that you've been able to extract a lot of information, a lot of understanding when it comes to things like the character of God and who he is and the things that Jesus taught around the fire and just the amazing lessons that we can learn. And so if you're here today and you're going, what on earth is the Campfire Stories series? We've been going through the Bible, stopping wherever there was a great fire, and then talking about the lessons that could be learned around the fire. So we started at the burning bush. We moved our way through fire by night. We've talked about everything from Peter's denial while he was warming himself by the fire when he denied Jesus three times, to everything to when Jesus reinstates Peter when he's feeding them the fish on the campfire right there for breakfast. We've talked about so many things. But as we come to a close, today I want to bring the last part, the finale, number 8, titled The Island Fire. The Island Fire. There was one more week I could get something in. The Island. Come on. Everyone's in flannels, but we're still thinking summer for a minute. The Island Fire. Yeah, we're going to be in Acts 28 today, and kind of just to give you a little background of this story. The Apostle Paul, he's a prisoner on a ship, and the ship ends up crashing, and everybody ends up escaping, and he gets to land, right? So you understand there's a shipwreck. The Apostle Paul, who was a prisoner on that boat, he ends up making it to shore with all the others, and they're survivors. They're now on the island, and we're going to pick this up right in verse 1 of chapter 28. So let's go there together. It says, "Once we were safe on shore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. The people of the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, much like today. So they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. The people of the island saw it hanging from his hand and said to each other, 'A murderer, no doubt. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live.'" Wow, judging can really get you somewhere, can't it? "But Paul shook it off." I'm not going to sing for you. "But Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. The people waited for him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided he was a god. Near the shore where we landed was an estate belonging to Publius, the chief official of the islands. He welcomed us and treated us kindly for 3 days. As it happened, P's father was ill with fever and dysentery. Paul went in and prayed for him, and laying his hands on him, he healed him. Then all the other sick people on the island came and were healed. As a result, we were showered with honors, and when the time came to sail, people supplied us with everything we would need for the trip." Are you getting this? What a story. And as I sit here and I think about this, you know, some people are like, that sounds like my life. I'm shipwrecked, being bit by a snake, to be, you know, people judging my life, you know, like all these things. Like, you think of the Apostle Paul and you're like, oh man, this guy must have, you know, if he was this studious, he wrote, you know, 2/3 of the New Testament almost, you know, he wrote a lot. And you're thinking, like, this guy had the life. Have you read the New Testament? He goes from one thing to another. But the fact is, as I read this story and I start to think about the lessons that were learned around the fire that day, the first thing that I think about is this: trying to help can hurt. Anyone ever felt the pain of trying to help? Now, it doesn't mean it was wrong. How many understand that, the easy thing to say is, I will remain selfish because I'm not vulnerable? The easy thing to say is, well, I know that trying to extend my hand makes me vulnerable, and I don't want to maybe get hurt. But I'll tell you this, trying to hurt sometimes, or trying to help can sometimes hurt. It says that as Paul gathered an armful of sticks, so you can imagine he's gathering his sticks here, right? He's got a bunch of sticks. Why? Because these people have been nice to him. He just got shipwrecked. All that stuff was going on. And he's like, man, we're here. They made us a fire. Here, I'm going to try and stoke the fire. I'm going to do everything I can. And so he's gathering the sticks, and he's doing everything he can to be helpful. Right? Are you reading that with me? Because that's what it says. And it says that as he was laying them, as he was laying them on the fire, that a snake jumped out and got his hands. Ah! You know, that's what happened. It grabbed him. And when you reach out, sometimes something can get you. Yeah, it's a rubber snake. And there's still at least a tenth of you, they're still scared of it in here. And it says that as he reached out to be helpful, a snake driven out by the heat took hold of him. And I look at it and I go, oh man, some of you, you've experienced that. You've reached out to try and be helpful. And something was driven out of that person. Yeah? I mean, I'll tell you, it happens all the time in my life. When I'm trying to help somebody that's hurt, or I'm trying to counsel somebody, I'm trying to direct them in the right way, and all of a sudden they lash out at me like a snake. And I'm like, whoa, man, I was just trying to help. It doesn't mean we shouldn't not help. It doesn't mean we should stand on the wayside and just watch the train wreck. It just means, hey, what we're called to do isn't always easy. Okay, in this situation, obviously, it was a snake coming out of a fire. But you know, trying to help can hurt sometimes. But think about it. In the process of you trying to help people, how often do you find yourself vulnerable? Give it to God. Did God not call us to be his hands and his feet? It doesn't mean that you're not supposed to do something. It would be so much easier to have, you know, hey, I just went through a shipwreck. I don't know if you guys realize it, but I almost died yesterday. Thanks for the fire. I'm going to sit right here while you deal with it. See, when we have experienced, well, when you've experienced generosity, you too want to do something, right? He gets there, man, you are soaked to the bone. You've just been shipwrecked, you've made it to shore, and these people have built you a fire. Of course you want to be helpful, but sometimes that can create a vulnerability, but it doesn't mean we should not do it. Are you hearing me? If you have never experienced this, get into counseling. The second thing that I think about is don't allow their talk to affect your faith. Because it says that when the people saw the snake attached to him, it said that they thought, no doubt, this guy has escaped the sea, but he must be a murderer because justice is coming. I'll tell you, if you had a bad day like Paul, forget the terrible, terrible day for Alexander or whatever that movie's called. Think about Paul, what he just experienced today. But it doesn't matter that I was shipwrecked. It doesn't matter that I was bit by the snake. It doesn't matter that all the people on the island now think I'm like enemy number one who is deserving of death. I know that God is for me. See, too many people listen to their community rather than to God's word. Too many people, I'm not talking to you or about you, but too many people allow other people's opinions into their world. They give more weight to that opinion than to what God's word says for their life. But I tell you, wherever God's calling you to, it's not going to be easy. You're going to deal with bumps and bruises. But the fact is, if God is for me, who can be against me? Come on, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. We have to remind ourselves over and over again who God is, what he said, and don't listen to all the talk. Don't listen to everyone's opinion about what they think about you. What did God say about you? Are you where you're supposed to be? I don't know, God. I don't know. I don't know what they're saying, but I know that I'm seeking you. I don't fully understand why I'm here. I don't know why I had to go through the shipwreck. I don't know why I got a snake hanging off my hand. But I know who you are. And so don't allow their talk to affect your faith. Just be content knowing how God sees you and knows the truth, even if others don't. Stay on your path knowing God has your back. And I'm telling you, as long as you are where he wants you to be, it doesn't matter what others think. Did you hear that? As long as you are where he wants you to be, it doesn't matter what others think. If people are speaking up because they care for you, because they know you're not where you should be, you might want to listen up. That's not a license just to care less about what anyone says. If the people that are speaking to you care about you and are saying, you're not where you're supposed to be. That was tight to the vest for somebody. It's quiet. This is another thought that I got as I was at this fire. Number three, just because it hurts doesn't mean God isn't there. So, as he put down the firewood, and by the way, I'm really disappointed about my props this time, because it would be way better if this was actually on fire. I thought every which way. I thought, like, you know those little buffet burners that are underneath the food? I thought, like, how could I set that up? And then I thought, no, it's next to dry wood, Chad. That's not smart. But I just want you to know, I tried real hard to figure it out. But anyway, so he gets bit by the snake, and so many people think if it hurts, God's not there. Did you hear me? So many people think if it hurts, God's not there, but that's not the case. Just because it hurts doesn't mean he's not there. Shake off the stings of life. No, it doesn't have power over you. Paul shook off the snake into the fire unharmed. Sometimes, listen to me, sometimes the greatest miracles happen in your life on the back of pain. You think God's not there, but he's just waiting to make an amazing plot twist in your story. He is just about to say, hey, look, wait, everybody thinks this of you, which means they think this of me, and they don't realize it, but because you're on mission for me, what they think of you actually is the way they think of me in the moment. But so, just because you think your heart doesn't mean I'm not there, it just gives me the opportunity to do something about it. How many times do we hear Jesus say, oh, this was so that I could show my power? How many times do we read in the Old Testament where God says, so that I could show my power? How many people want a little bit of God's power shown in their life? Then don't be worried about the sting. Don't be worried about getting hurt. Just because you're hurt doesn't mean God's not there. In fact, it may prove that he is powerful in your world if you're willing to continue down that avenue. It says that Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. This is another thought that I think is really important for us. Because I hope that that ministers to you, and I hope the thought that, first of all, just because it hurts doesn't mean God's not there, because I believe there are a lot of people going through a lot of things that hurt right now. You know, one of the most famous poems we know in, I don't know if you would say Christendom or whatever, it's the poem of the footprints, right? And, you know, along the way, there were two sets of footprints, and Jesus was walking with me. And then during my hardest moments, I look back, and I see that there were only one set of footprints. And it was the time that I was hurting, and I was in pain. And it's easy for us to immediately judge and go, God, where were you? I needed you the most. But then we read on that Jesus says, well, that's when I was carrying you because you couldn't walk on your own. Just because it hurt didn't mean I wasn't there. It meant I stepped in a greater way, but you didn't have the spiritual eyes to see in the moments. Just because it hurts doesn't mean God's not there. And no matter what you're going through, if you would welcome him into your world, if you would be open, if you would stop blaming God for the things that the world are doing, stop blaming God for your own bad decisions. Well, God, why did you let me make that decision? Because he didn't want to make you a robot. Because he allows you to make your own decisions. He encourages us. He says, I put before you life and death, blessings and cursings. I pray that you would choose life. But he allows us to make choices. But listen, when we invite God into our world, even when it hurts, it doesn't mean he's not there. But the way you speak either continues to welcome him into the problem or use him as the scapegoat for your problem. Man, I can't tell you how many times I've spent with people that are in a lot of pain. They're in a lot of hurting. And their vocabulary, the words that they speak, it's not stirring the right things. You know, they're taking this moment to say, well, God, where are you? Where are you? If you were here then. I'm like, well, the minute we start pushing God out of the picture, he's a gentleman. He'll take a couple steps back. It says that no one can pluck us from his hand, but it doesn't say we can't jump. We need to understand just because it hurts doesn't mean God's not there. Do you understand that? Cling to him in those times. Okay. So the other thing that as I read this, I love this. Paul shook off the snake into the fire. Problem starts here. Number four, leave your problem where you find it. So he puts down the wood and it says that he shook it off right back into the fire. Now for a minute, follow me for a minute. What would happen? You see this? Hey, look over here. And he's running around the whole village with his problem. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? You see this? Can you believe this? Hold this for me. It's my problem. Give me it. Now that seems silly, but the way you carry your problem around all the people in your world, rather than leaving it where you found it, you end up affecting and infecting everybody in your world because you can't leave your problem where you found it. That's better than that. It says that when he got bit, he shook it off back into the fire. Well, Chad, it's not that easy. I can't just shake off that incident that happened with Tommy. Well, you can go right back to where the problem was with Tommy, as Matthew says. If you have a problem with somebody, you go to the person. Go to where the problem occurred. Go to the person and deal with it one-on-one so that you don't infect everyone else with a snake running around the village. You just have become the snake by the way you speak. Are you hearing me? It says that he shook it off back into the fire. You need to leave your problem where you find it. We walk around hurt with a problem, don't we? We walk around hurt with a problem and want to show and tell. But now others are getting bit. They're being injected and affected by the venom of bitterness towards that person too. And they are judging and spreading rumors now as well. Man, if you could get better at leaving your problem where you found it, your whole world would be better. Your friendships would be stronger. Is anyone following me on this? Took a rubber snake to get it across. You gotta shake it off. Sorry. Number five. The next thing I read and that I take away from the lessons by the fire is people are wrong a lot. People are wrong, like not a little bit, but they're wrong a lot. And you say, well, what does this have to do with anything? Let's go to the next scripture here. Check it out. The people waited for him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided he was a god. Can you imagine? Dude gets bit. He's going to die. He's going to die. I mean, he should have died out there, but because he was lucky enough to get here, he's going to die. They wait, they shake it off, they wait for him to swell up, and he doesn't swell up, they wait for him to die. Oh, no, he's not going to die. He's a god. He's a god. He's a god. Telephone, he's a god. He's a dog? He's a dog. No, he's a god. Oh, he's a dog god. It's important for you to understand this because we put way too much emphasis on what people think, and people are wrong a lot. We put way too much time and energy and effort. And listen, you should have a good rapport. You should have good reputation. You shouldn't be the guy that's trying to not care. But when people are speaking against you, when people are misunderstanding you, they misunderstood Jesus. They didn't like Jesus. They missed Jesus. You're not Jesus. But we reflect him and he moves through us. When you stir up what the Spirit is doing in your life, all of a sudden everything changes. But the fact is, we spend way too much time worrying about what other people think when other people are wrong a lot. Do not be driven by what others think. I love what a lot of these, and this idea I'd heard for years, but there are a lot of NFL stars that's specifically with the Philadelphia Eagles and Trey Burton, who I know, they've put together this big devotional, and these Christians have come together, and they're really trying to push this idea of audience of one. And the fact is, if you understand that you're living for an audience of one, you care a lot less of what others think if it's not the one speaking. And even YouVersion just took one of their devotionals and they've put it on. But the fact is this, if I can understand that there's an audience of one and that the only voice, the most important voice in my world is God. God. You say, yeah, I get that. But you act like your wife's God. You act like your husband's God. You act like your kids. Rather than being minions, you elevate them to God. The people in your world that speak to you, and you change who you are and what God's called you to do, and you go, okay, well, I won't do that even though God called you to do that. Audience of one. People are wrong a lot. People you love are wrong a lot. I'm wrong a lot. You're wrong a lot. We all deal with our own issues, don't we? That's why the best thing we could ever do is go back to God's word and say, well, what is right again? Let me, recalculating. You ever pick up something and maybe it's a compass or whatever, like even on your phone. Anyone ever like part-time do carpentry with your phone is like your scale? It's horrible. Don't ever do it. But anyway, when you set up your compass, it asks you to calibrate it. Well, how often do you get on your knees and recalibrate in the morning before you actually face your world? See, you think your square is level. It isn't anymore because the pressures of this world have changed some of the angles in your mind. You got to go back and go, wait a minute, I got to recalibrate. A lot of people are wrong and a lot of people are saying a lot of things, but God, what are you saying? They're saying, he's going to die. Now they're saying, he's a God. Come on. Let's go back to God's word and say, God, what do you say? Because the quicker you can be content in your own world, more comfortable in your own skin, the more authentic you can live and actually affect the 6 feet around you. Yeah? So leave your problem where you find it and understand that oftentimes people are wrong, and that's okay. That's why you're supposed to be, you know, you've also heard other people say that the only Bible someone will read may be your life. Why? Because actions speak louder than words, that we should indeed show fruit. We shouldn't just have faith without works. That's dead. We should do the things God's called us to do. Okay, I'm assuming you got it because I'm going to keep moving. The next thing, after number 5, would be number 6. Don't allow your bites to keep you from being a blessing. You know, sometimes when we deal with a problem, that problem becomes like front and center. You know, Paul shakes it off back into the fire, leaves his problem where he found it. He hears all this stuff going on in his world, but it doesn't change who he is and what he's going to do. In fact, I'm sure, how many know that, you know, when you have wounds, you know, like any of you deal with problems, maybe you got back problems or knee problems or any of the things that come through just living life long enough on this earth, and the weather gets a little cold today, like, oh man, or you're like, wait a minute, it's work, right? And so we get brought back to the thought of the pain or whatever it might be. But the fact is, we can't allow that thing to keep us from doing the thing that God's called us to. It would have been easy for Paul to walk around with his hand all up and he's like, hey, I'm out. I'm going to hang around here. I can feel my body. You know, maybe it's fighting something, because how many know God can be in it, but you still got to put up some fight? You got to stir some faith. It would be easy for him to focus on his scars and his phantom pain. Anyone ever dealt with phantom pain? But realize, even when you don't feel 100%, God's 100. God's 100%. He has the ability to do things through broken vessels. In my life, I've come to realize that although the jar may be marred, and although there may be some cracks, and although it doesn't look perfect, he can still flow through it. And so don't allow your bite, don't allow your hurt, don't allow your pain to keep you from being a blessing. And when we read what Paul did, look what it says in verse 8. As it happened, P's father was ill with fever and dysentery. Paul went in and prayed for him, and laying his hands on him, it's interesting. Where did he get bit? So what would have been the thing that he wouldn't have wanted to use if there was pain? He still decided to go ahead and be vulnerable. And rather than having the bite keep him from doing the thing he should do, he just allowed God to work through even his pain. Anybody getting this? Okay. So even on your worst day, rather than wallowing in your pain, ask God to open your eyes to others who are hurting so you can help them. God, I know this part of my life is it's hurting, but wait a minute. Maybe this part of my life is going to be something that you minister through in the future. Maybe your addictions from 10 years ago are going to be the very thing that helped the person who's going through it 10 days ago, 10 hours ago, 10 minutes ago. You never know what God intends to do. You never know how he can use you unless you're willing to be used. People think that's a bad connotation. Man, I am so happy to be used. God, you can use me any day of the week. I will be the rusty tool in your tool shed. You know, don't worry about me, just use me. You ever buy something so nice you never use it? All the ladies look over at the guys near them. And they know of 100 things that the guy, like, you know, you buy something. I was in a Harley dealership yesterday. Goodness gracious. I sent a picture to Julie just to feel out the water. I didn't send her the $27,000 price tag. But man, I thought, as I was sitting on that bike yesterday, I just thought, if I had this, I don't even know if I could roll it down the street. Like, this thing is so nice. The paint job, if it ever had a ding, if it, I don't know. I don't know if I could deal with that. No. God gave you amazing abilities so that he could use them, not so that you could just put them up. You know, so many people, they stack up trophies and they stack up music awards and they stack up, you know, all these, diplomas. They stack them all up, but they never allow God to use any of it. Why? Well, maybe I could get hurt if I did. Maybe you were designed to take a beating and keep on moving. Maybe you were designed to be a warrior, not a whiner. Maybe you were designed to handle a lot more than you think you were. But the fact is, you can only ever see it through natural eyes, not spiritual eyes. Come on. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am more than a conqueror. I tell you all the time, you can either be a conqueror or you can be comfortable. You can't be both. We've got to be willing to be used, and we can't allow the bite to keep us from being the blessing. Amen? All right, we're going to keep moving. Number 7, allow your call to change your plans. What I love is Paul, you know, they're looking to leave, right? So they're not on this island by choice. They need to go. But see, what I love is rather than Paul spending every day trying to make another boat, rather than Paul just focusing on his immediate need to be able to get out of here, rather than all of that happening, it says in verse 9 that after he healed P's father, it says this, Then all the other sick people on the island came and were healed. They didn't just come. They came and they were healed. Meaning Paul chose to change his day for the need in the moments. How often do we walk past something that God ordained? How often do we walk past an opportunity that God was opening up because we were so focused on our day? Now look, I'm not telling you to have it as an excuse. Well, boss, I'm sorry I couldn't go in. I just had to stay longer at the coffee shop because someone walked in 4 days in a row. And then you get fired because you didn't care, and then you blame God because you see what I'm saying? It's a bad road. Don't go down that. But what I am saying is that Paul was willing in the moment to see the need and do something about it. He allowed his call to change his plans. See, people, I believe there are people that they've been going 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and they still struggle understanding what their call is. It's because they were never willing to shift plans. I believe you may be working in your call right now. People, when they say call, they think it's some super mysterious thing. I'll tell you, your call is based on what you're good at because God gave you the ability to do it at a high level so that you could be a blessing, not just for you, but for a kingdom that is growing and people that are in need of Jesus. So don't be like, well, God, what's my calling? And you think that some new thing is going to spring out of you that you've never even considered in your life. Look, God can add on to things in your life, but he's going to start with the foundation he built. Okay. But we need to understand that we have to be able to allow our plans to change if we want God to use us. I look through all these different stories in the Bible, and they were walking to the temple and they stop, and I don't have gold, but what I do have, I give you this. What if they just kept walking? They would have missed an opportunity. But instead, the guy gets up and goes in with them. You have the ability to see people's lives change if you're willing to allow your day to change a little bit. Amen? Okay. Number 8. This is something else I see. When people feel cared for, they choose to care. I don't know what era of life what occupation of life or where you are in life. I don't know if you're in the helps area of life, if you're in the hospitality area of life, if you're in the sales area of life. I don't know what area of life you're in or ministry or whatever. But what I do know is when people feel cared for, they choose to care. I see it time and time again. And you go, well, Chad, I cared for that person and they didn't care. Well, there's one in every bunch. But what I do know is oftentimes people, when they feel cared for, they want to care. And I see this in verse 9. Then all the other sick people on the island came and were healed. What? They were cared for. And number 10, as a result, we were showered with honors. And then if you jump to the next part, it says, and when the time came to sail, people supplied us with everything we would need for the trip. You see that? It's important for you to see this because oftentimes people are waiting for a response before they do their parts. They want someone to care about their problem, but they've never cared about anyone else's. They want somebody to help fix their problem, but they've never showed up on the side of the road to help someone else. They want to reap before they sow, but God says, that's not my principle. That's not my law. That's not how it goes. You sow and then you reap. Amen? And so it's amazing because we see these people, they're cared for, and then they choose to care. Placing importance on another's issue places you in an honorable position with them. Not that you're doing it to manipulate or try and get one over or I'm going to do this because I have a big thing in the future I want to talk to them about. No, we have to be genuine in what we do. Otherwise, God doesn't even give us that, he doesn't go, oh, good on that. He goes, oh, I saw the reason you did that. We need to be genuine in what we do. We need to be people that love people. And because we love people, that's enough. I mean, pizza's good after a long moving day. But if you love somebody, you're still going to help them move without the pizza, right? You four, I'm calling you next time. So when people feel cared for, they choose to care. How you treat others often determines how they will treat you. You guys remember the golden rule? We grew up, a lot of people knew the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them, as you would like them to do to you, right? But yet, we oftentimes see people think they can treat anyone the way they want to be treated, or they can treat anyone however they feel for the day, but they think that somehow it is owed to them for them to be treated like a princess, when all you've acted like was the evil witch. Step away. Okay, that's you guys. I don't know what's going on. You with me? Everything's all right? Okay, just making sure. Those whose lives he affected supplied everything Paul needed to him. Do you hear what I'm saying? So the people that Paul affected for good, the people that Paul cared for, the people that Paul changed his day for, they ended up being the exact people that stepped up and took care of the need he had. Isn't that interesting? I think of it like, man, God, I don't know who you're going to use. I don't know how you're going to use them. I don't know what's going on in my world. I don't know if you're going to show up in this way or if you're going to show up in that way, but I'm going to do unto others as I would have want them to do to me. And I'm going to put others first because I know you died for them just as much as you died for me. And I'm not going to be so entangled in my day, in my issue, focused on my bite, focused on the things going on that I'm not even aware of what you're trying to do. I want to be somebody that you can use. And I want to believe that when I do something good for someone else, that they too are, something's going to turn in them. They're going to say, I didn't deserve that, but because he chose to do that, it makes me question, it makes me think. We're supposed to be the salt and the light. What's salty about you? When people think of salty, they think of a problem, but it should be something that's different. We need to be somebody that literally will step out and be a light in the darkness. We need to actually pick up this thing and carry some light where we go. We can't just be expected that, oh, well, God's got me and I'm good now. I was saved and I've made a decision and now everything's dandy. No, we should actually make change in our worlds. We should be change in our worlds. Does it make any sense? So when people experience the power of Jesus within you, everything changes. Why? Because Jesus changes everything. Did you receive the word today? Come on, would you bow your heads as I close today?
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.